The MDGs all have worthy objectives, and there has been some progress, and some progress is certainly better than no progress.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at the issues behind the news. This week, the Millennium Development Goals.
Ten years ago, global leaders meeting at the United Nations drafted the Millennium Development Goals, a 15-year plan designed to help the world's poorest women and children. Called the MDGs, the plan targets global problems including hunger, child and maternal health, education, and gender inequality. Non-resident senior fellow Raj Desai takes measure of the long-range effort, noting what's been done and what's left to do.
We're 10 years now into the Millennium Development Goals. Tell me how it came to be.
Towards the end of the 1990s, there were some disappointments with the foreign aid programs of bilateral, multilateral donors, the ways in which they'd been applied, the effectiveness and impact on poverty and other issues in developing countries. There was a new millennium, a new opportunity for refocusing the attention of the world on the poorest, for focusing resources on manageable goals, on goals that were worthy for reducing poverty, for improving education, for achieving a variety of development outcomes that set various standards, various objectives for improving education and health, reducing poverty, increasing infrastructure, gender equality from the baseline of 1990.
Raj, there's been some progress made in the meeting the MDGs, and there's a long road to go in many other aspects. So is there a likelihood at all that we could fail?
There are plenty of people who thought that the goals were inadequately designed, or that the targets were arbitrary, that the objectives were certainly laudable, but the means of achieving them were not adequately specified. So it is likely that many of these goals will fail, and the deadlines will simply be extended, and the commitments of donors will simply be reaffirmed towards achieving them at some later date. And, they're certainly worthy goals.
And what is the U.S.'s approach to meeting the goals of the MDGs?
Last year, President Obama expressed his support for the Millennium Development Goals, and that had set off a interagency process towards developing a global plan, an American plan for the MDGs, if you will. And from what we know, it focuses on four components. One is bringing to bear new methodologies and new technologies to foreign aid programs in developing countries. The second is to emphasizing sustainable programs rather than small scale or other programs that are limited in terms of their timeline, to think about a broad-based development strategy rather than individual programs. The fourth would be more focus on monitoring and impact evaluation and understanding what the effect of American dollars, aid dollars, is in countries in which it is used. And then the last is, of course, more transparency, not just transparency in U.S. aid commitments, but transparency in terms of where the money is actually going and to what use it's being put.
Is the U.S. positioned to do something more to meet the MDGs?
U.S. leadership is vital in terms of achieving the goal number 8 of the MDGs, which is to create a global partnership for development. So the U.S. can play a critical global leadership role in establishing that effective partnership. It can also do a couple of other things. The U.S. is in a critically vital position to be able to help fragile states, to focus on, for example, reducing the impact of things such as natural disasters and armed conflicts on impacting the lives of the poorest and the most vulnerable citizens of fragile states who tend to bear the greatest burden of these humanitarian crises. The U.S. is in a unique position to be able to assist create a kind of international community response.
Raj, we're counting down to the end of the 15-year period. that was established to meet the MDGs. So what more must be done to help eradicate poverty, hunger, disease, to elevate the world's poorest people?
The priorities for the next 5 years should be to improve aid effectiveness, to focus on reducing fragmentation among donor countries, reducing volatility and uncertainty in aid flows to developing countries, and to improve country ownership in developing countries of aid programs. Another priority, which has sort of fallen by the wayside, of course, is to revive the Doha round, which has stalled, and in particular to improve trade relationships between the rich and poor countries, especially in agriculture, addressing issues such as tariffs, agricultural tariffs in developing countries, subsidies in richer countries, a simple thing such as narrowing the gap between the official formal tariff rates on agricultural commodities and the actual applied rate, which tends to be much lower, could go a long way towards reducing the uncertainty in trade relations between the rich and poor.
Raj, thank you so much for joining us here today.
My pleasure.
I'm Gigi Hinton. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again next week at Brookings.
Stay up to date with the latest research, learn about Brookings events, and search our directory of experts, all from your mobile device. To download Brookings for your BlackBerry, Android, or iPhone, go to brookings.edu/mobile.